We are looking at Surah Al-Fatah, which is in the 26th juz of the Noble Quran. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to the great conquest, the conquest that took place, the Fatah al-Makkah, but before that Hudaybiyah and other events that led to that. Amongst the verses that were revealed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَعَ إِيمَانِهِمْ وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. It is Allah who sent tranquility into the hearts of the believers so that their faith increases together with the faith they have. And it is by virtue of this faith and iman that Allah shall admit the believing men and women into gardens beneath which rivers flow, and they will abide there forever, and Allah will pardon them for their sins. And this is indeed the great success. وَكَانَ ذَٰلِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. This is the supreme success. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُعَذِّبَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَالْمُشْرِكَاتِ الضَّانِينَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ السَّوْءِ عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. Allah has granted you a manifest victory so that Allah may punish the hypocrite men and women, as well as the polytheist men and women, all of whom hold an evil opinion about Allah. عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. An evil calamity shall befall them. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah is angry with them. وَلَعَنَهُمْ. And Allah's curse is upon them. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. And Allah has prepared Jahannam for them. What an evil abode, what an evil place of return it is. So, while Allah has promised the believers great reward, on the other hand, there are five things that the disbelievers, the mushrikeen, Allah says that the mushrikeen and the munafikeen, men and women, all hold evil opinions about Allah. This includes their disbelief in Allah, falsifying the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, their hope that the Muslims are destroyed in battle and never return to Medina. Because of this, Allah will punish the mushrikeen and the munafikeen, men and women, the men because of what they did, and the women as well because they harbor the same belief in malice as their men. That is the first point that is outlined. That is that they will be punished. Then the second thing is an evil calamity shall befall them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that عَلَيْهِمْ دَائِرَةُ السَّوْءِ. An evil calamity shall befall them. They will be killed or taken captive in battle, and the snowballing success of the Muslims will prove to be a thorn in their sides. After mentioning this, Allah says, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah is angry with them. وَلَعَنَهُمْ. And Allah's curse upon them. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ. And He has prepared Jahannam for them. وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. What an evil abode it is. That Allah continues to outline to the disbelievers what is in store for them. Allah continues thereafter by saying, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And the armies of the heavens and the earth belong to Allah. And Allah is always the mighty and the wise. Now this verse has been repeated. It came in verse number 4, where Allah says that walillahi, in verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says walillahi junudu samawati wal ard wa kana Allahu aliman hakima. The armies of the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, and Allah is ever all knowing and all wise. Allah is at liberty to use whichever army He wills to accomplish any task. And then these verses warn the kuffar against thinking that they will be able to vanquish the Muslims easily because the Muslims are few and ill-equipped. At the same time, the Muslims are also encouraged not to lose hope because Allah has tremendous means of rendering assistance to all despite all the odds. And Allah, in verse number 4, as we stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is ever all-knowing and wise. And then in verse number 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah is always mighty and wise. And this verse makes it clear to the Muslims that Allah is well aware of their friends as well as their foe. And Allah is mighty enough to enforce any decision that He takes. And none can reverse His decree. He will therefore pass judgment according to His perfect wisdom. and thereby reward people as he pleases and punishes others as he pleases. What we understand here in these verses, addressing the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ, so that Allah may forgive your shortcomings that past, those that may occur in the future. Now, when we talk of the shortcomings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the entire ummah is unanimously agree, or they agree that this does not refer to the sins of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because all anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were innocent of sins. When we talk of the shortcomings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it refers to errors in judgment. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have made an error in judgment. An example of this was when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam opted to accept ransom from the captors of Badr. That was one instance. Another was when he accepted the excuses of the munafiqeen for not participating in the battle or the expedition of Tabuk. And with reference to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Afallahu ank, lima adhinta lahum, Allah has forgiven you, but why did you exempt them before the true ones became manifest before you and you became aware of their lies? And yet another example is when the blind sahabi Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy inviting some prominent kuffar towards Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became displeased at his intrusion, and the displeasure of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became apparent on his forehead, where he frowned, and Allah disliked this. And Allah mentioned in the verses that were revealed, Abasa wa tawalla, he frowned and turned away, that the blind man had come to him. So despite the fact that Allah had forgiven Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for everything, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still exerted himself greatly in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand in the tahajjud salah for endless hours, and this caused his feet to swell. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam really pushed himself to the limits in terms of engaging in acts of worship. When he was asked about him exerting himself in this way, he said, Afala akuna abdan shakura, should I then not be a thankful servant? It's only appropriate that I show my gratitude to Allah for such favors by carrying out great acts of worship. And then after the initial set of verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to speak about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by saying, Inna arsalnaka shahida wa mubashira wa nadira. Verily, O Nabi of Allah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have sent you, and there are three qualities mentioned, as a witness, as a bearer of glad tidings, and as a warner. Now the first is that Nabi, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attributes is that he is a witness. And this has been mentioned in numerous verses that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be called upon to give testimony, that he will give testimony in favor of the Anbiya that they had done their jobs. لِتَكُونَ شُهَدَاءَ لِلنَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ رَسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. So that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called a shahid. Then he is called مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. The other two attributes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he was a bearer of glad tidings. He conveyed good news to mankind about the tremendous rewards that Allah had in store for them in the Akhirah in exchange for iman and good deeds. He also came as a warner for those who disobeyed Allah, which will spell their ultimate doom. And conveying glad tidings to people and warning them was the task of each of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also fulfilled this task to the highest degree, as we can gauge from the numerous ahadith which gives the glad tidings to the believers and also warns them. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, instructing them to believe in Allah, لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ, and that you assist Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتُوَكِّرُوهُ, and that you revere him, وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ, and that you glorify Allah, بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا, morning and evening. That should be part of your daily routine. That brings us up to verse number 9 of Surah Al-Fatah.